Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom and welcome. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, your host, Sister Georgia. Today, family, let's get the date in here. It's November 26, 2019. And today we're going to have a lesson. It's going to be the beginning of a new series called Spiritual Warfare. Today we're going to do foundations. So we're going to start spiritual warfare, foundations. Before we get into the lesson, let's give thanks to our Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit that is now within us. I thank you for creating us a new creature in Yahushua. I thank you, Father, for your spirit allowing us to hear you, have dreams, have visions, and many gifts, as well as be able to teach. Father, when we speak the word, which is your word, written in your book, left for your people, so that as these dry bones start hearing the word, they can stand firm with the whole armor on and be overcomers to your truth. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for each and every family member, each and every person who is your spirit from above that will eventually come into your truth and worship you in spirit and truth. Father, I ask a blessing over this lesson. And Father, I ask that your spirit flows as I speak your word. We give you all praises, Father, all honor. In Yahushua's name, we say hallelujah. And thank you, Father. Okay, family. Let's get started. Okay, today's lesson, it's going to be a series. It's called Spiritual Warfare. We're going to get to the foundations today. I'm going to try to take this slow, because it's been a while since I've been on air. And for those of you who know, when I come only by the Father's word. When I try to jump and have a show because you want me to have a show or a lesson or whatever, it does not work out. It's just how the Father has it. It does not flow the way it's supposed to flow. Either there's something that will delete that show, make that show impossible for me to have. And I was supposed to have a show about 2 weeks ago or maybe a week ago, and it didn't happen. Okay, so I was praying to the Father, you know, waiting to hear him speak to me again and let me know when would be my time to come back on. And I was fasting and praying. Let me say that because it's important. You know the truth. And what I heard last night, I shared it with another family member. I heard the Father say, I didn't see anything. I just heard him say while I was sleeping, go to work tonight. And I was in my spiritual body asleep. And I remember I said like this, why I gotta go? And all I heard him say was, go now. And so when I woke up, I'm thinking, oh, why do you want me to go to work? I know I gotta go to work. And I really just didn't get it. But as the day proceeded, I was leaving my first job, getting ready to go to my second job, and I happened to look at the calendar, and I'm off today. And the work he wants us to do is not a physical work, a job just to pay the bills or whatever. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about his work, what we're assigned here to do. So I'm going to come out with this teaching on spiritual warfare, and he's been... Like I say, when the Father speaks to me, I have to listen, and I'll try to listen my best. Every time he gives me a dream, I hear him call my name twice. I hear him tell me what he wants me to do, and he's brought me on this spiritual warfare, and we're going to get into it. We're gonna have many lessons because we're going to get into dreams. We're going to get into visions. We're going to get into a lot of the information pertaining to the whole armor of God. We're going to get into a lot of information. What does that mean for us today? Because I hear it in the churches. They'll read it, and they might have part of it right. you know, what they're telling the people, but they don't have the people right, or they're still into the flesh. They got one foot in the world and one foot in heavenly places, spiritual places. And you can't mix the two kingdoms. You can't mix the two kingdoms. So we're going to get to the truth. I got to lay this foundation out, and I pray that, you know, you're really here to learn, because I'm going to read the word. It's not going to be my word. You're going to see where the Father says certain things. So don't get mad at me if it goes against what you have previously learned growing up. Remember, many of our forefathers, these are our parents, mother, father, forefathers, they have learned traditions, and these are traditions of men. Traditions are things that have been done because by word of mouth, not by the Father's word, but by word of mouth, it's always been done. So people accept it as fact. But it's not the truth. That's why we're not supposed to walk by sight, but by faith. We're taking faith as something spiritual that you can't touch, but you know it's truth because the Father said it. So we're going to go to the truth, which is the Father's word, so that you can walk by faith and leave sight alone. We've done a lot of lessons so far, and I'm going to just highlight some of the main important parts in order to get to spiritual warfare, because people are teaching it, and some people I can even recommend to you, but they don't have a portion of it right. The biggest portion that I see them doing is involving the whole world. That's the biggest part I see. We're going to show you whose word this is and who it was meant for. Okay, it's not for the whole world. I'm sorry, it's not. And I'm not going to say I'm sorry. That's just what the Father says. It's not that I'm being mean, but when we go to the scriptures, let's leave it to the Father to speak. Whatever traditions or thought patterns you may have, drop it and let the Father speak to you. Let the Father speak to you. So this is spiritual warfare foundations. First scripture I want to take you to, I got to take you there. The Father tells us in Malachi 3:6, and this is so important. He says, "For I am the Lord." Now, this is old covenant. Just like when you go to a new covenant and we say the Lord Jesus, well, pay attention. In Malachi 3:6, it reads, "For I am," and you know who the I am who went to the children while they were in Egypt, the children of Israel, the I am that spoke to Moses. Well, in Malachi, the same I am who is the Lord, he says, "For I am the Lord. I change not." He's not changing. This book is not changing. Who he's speaking to is not changing. Our Father is a spirit. He's speaking to those spirits he knew before the foundation of the earth, the ones he placed within their mother's womb, according to Jeremiah chapter 1, the same ones we can read about in Genesis chapter 2 on the seventh day, the set apart day, the Shabbat day, the blessed day, the day of rest. Malachi 3:6. "For I am the Lord, I change not." That means he's not changing. He's not changing. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's the same thing we can read when we go to Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's important you know who the Father is, who this book is speaking to. He's not going from God in the old covenant and Jesus, who loves the whole world. He died for everybody's sins, because the Father tells us, "For I am the Lord." He was speaking to Moses. He was speaking to Adam. He was speaking to Abraham. He says, "I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, the reason why I'm not changing is so ye sons," or "ye children of Jacob," or spiritual Israel today, because you were spirits in the old covenant. He wants you to wake up, take off the flesh, man, die to the flesh, and start flowing by the Spirit. So pay attention. For I am the Lord, I change not. The reason why, he says, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You're not destroyed. You're not destroyed. I'm talking to you. I'm not changing. I had a people. I still got the same set of people. It's important to know this. We're going to go on with it. And, I mean, all you got to do is read the word. Many people have come to me over the years, want to say, well, Sister Georgia, you know, are you saying that not everybody in the whole world, all the nations of the world, that's not the Father's? Well, the Father says it's not. Just because they put words, physical letters that make up words in a book, and you have not allowed the Spirit to lead you, we can read what it says. When it says the word nation, it was talking about the 12 tribes. Go back to the book of Jeremiah. When it spoke about the kingdoms, because they like to go in the new covenant or in Revelations and talk about, well, you see this kingdom, all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, you better realize that the Father let you know that he has taken the kingdoms of this world, and now they're the kingdoms of the Father. But he didn't come for the whole world, because all you got to do is realize the kingdoms being spoken of are the same in Jeremiah when they had to go to the kingdoms. There was the northern and southern kingdom. That was the northern and southern kingdom. Know what these words mean. The word Israel. Today, you put on the news, they show you Israel, a land. You put on TV shows, and they show you, oh, this is Babylon, the Exorcist. That's what that movie was made from, Iraq, biblical Babylon. Father told me, spoke to me, Babylon is not a place, it's a condition. The Bible tells us that in his word. I heard him tell me that, though. So you know I'm not falling from what he says. I can, two witnesses, I got his word in front of me, and I hear him quite well, quite well. Israel is Jacob's name. It's a people, not a place. So don't get all this mixed up and twisted. He's talking to a certain group of people. They need to hear this. Without knowing this little bit of information, they're trying to save people who never was meant to be saved. They're not even going for the ones they need to go for. The same ones they're praying for is trying to kill them, according to the word. Have you read Galatians? I believe it's chapter 4, where it talks about Sarah and Hagar. One are children of the promise, the spirit, the promise, and the others are children of the flesh. Hagar represented the flesh covenant. She represented fleshly children. Same thing Paul says in Romans. The children of the flesh, these are not his children, but children of the spirit. This is a book of spirits. Our Father is the head cornerstone. He is a spirit, according to the book of John. And we are spirits that were with him before the foundation of the earth. We're going to read it. Let's just pay attention to what it says. You got to know, in order to get this spiritual warfare, we have all been led astray. We have all been led astray. If you want to lean on your own understanding, you're going to be led astray. The Father says, come to the word as a child. Not to say get silly and dig boogers out your nose and all that. No. He's talking about when you come, children come with a clean slate. They're learning. You're not coming here to debate me, because all we're going to do is read the Father's word. But I got to make this point, because some of the stuff I'm going to go into is going to be hard for you to comprehend if you're not thinking spiritual. So when we read this, think spiritual, because we are into the new covenant. But we must look at the old covenant, because the law was not done away with. But the law is spiritual. And that's the catcher. People aren't kidding. Okay. I don't want to digress too much. But we got to make this foundation. So in Malachi 3:6, the Father says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, when we go to Isaiah 43:11, the Father tells us, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Okay, well, the Father says there's no Savior, but everybody says Jesus is the one that saves. He's a Savior. That's the way the world has taught us. But the Father's letting us know, because Isaiah, remember, Old Covenant, he knew about Abraham, he knew about Moses, he knew about Adam and Eve. He knew his father. But remember, this last set of newcomers here that in 2019, just waking up, most of them are underneath the curses because they don't realize everything they need they would have to get from their oppressor. The oppressor didn't give you truth. The only truth is with our Father. So if you don't look at the words, you will be lost. You'll be lost to this truth, and it's meant for you. So we're going to look at it. Isaiah said, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. That's Old Covenant, Isaiah. When you go to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it reads, this is New Covenant, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now they're talking about Jesus, Yahushua. He was in the flesh. Remember, he came to the earth. That's why if you don't understand the beginning of Genesis, you're never going to get this part. I did a lesson where I went way over in extent with 50 million scriptures, and I got it posted on our website, and it's also on Blog Talk Radio. Speaking of the Lord our God is one, okay? Showing you what you're going to read in 2 seconds. It's the same spirit. Don't look at the outer vessel. We know God is a spirit. We know that God came to this earth many times as Melchizedek, okay? As Melchizedek in the Old Covenant, he talked to Abraham. He visited Joshua before Jericho when Joshua had to go up to him. And, you know, he saw this man with this sword in his hand. He says, which are you for them or for us? And he let him know. He says, I'm the captain of the host of the army for the Most High. He was in a physical form that Joshua could see him, but he was a spirit from above. And who was he? Who fights for Israel? I think y'all know the answer to that. Only the Most High fights for his people. Go to the Old Covenant and see who's fighting. Go to the New Covenant and understand it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We're going to go through that. So this Savior that we read about in the New Covenant is the God of the Old Covenant. It's the same entity. The only difference is he told us in the New Covenant when he was going to come down and take care of this because his people had gone every way. But on that straight path, he said, preparest thou me a body. He gave part of his spirit into a vessel, just like he put our spirit into this vessel we call a body. Because in this dimension called earth, there has to be a flesh body. Remember when we went to Genesis a long time ago, I did this, but the notes are out there. Many don't want to ascribe to the truth of what we can read in Genesis. Genesis day 6, male and female created together. Oh, yeah, they were blessed, but they were in the field. You better look up what that word blessed mean, and I can tell you in a little bit, but I won't go there yet. We're going to get there. And then you go to Genesis 2, chapter 2, and he starts saying he finished all that work. Okay, he finished all the work that he had made and all that. Then he tells you about this man that he had formed. But he gets a spirit. Where is that spirit from? Well, if you go to, and we will go to all these scriptures today, he went to Ephesians to let us know that we were with him before the foundation of the earth, our spirits. So this spirit, this Ruach, this Holy Ghost, which some people like to say, this is the breath of life, is all a spirit. It was placed into that vessel that the Father created. It was set apart on a set apart day. It was set apart into a garden where he was speaking with the Father, him and Eve speaking with the Father. When they sin, and that's what all of this spiritual warfare is about. When they sin, boom, put coats of skin on, get out. Put coats of skin on. That's flesh in order to operate in this dimension, if you're a spirit, you must have flesh. You cannot operate any way but having a vessel, a flesh, like a spaceman suit, if you will. Just like you can't breathe in water, the Father made his people, because they had sinned, to go out there in the field or the earth like all the rest of the people we can read about in Genesis chapter 1, day 6, creation of male and female. Never received the Spirit. Never. Now, if you don't believe me, read it yourself. The Father's word is clear. So once you get into this dimension, this flesh dimension, now there's laws that got to be given to us. I don't want to jump the gun. I want to keep going because, hey, I got a lot to say. And, you know, all I'm going to do is read. I'm going to read, and I pray that you guys get this. It looks like I got a hand up already. Hold on a second, family. Hold on. Welcome. Wow, there's a lot of people there. Welcome. Let me open a mic and see if someone wants to speak to me. All right, Shalom. I think you're a Skype trawler, 111.
Yes. Shalom to you, my dear. Your program is very awesome. And my topic I would like to talk about is about 5G network that they are frying the humanity left and right. And, you know, right now, Europe, pretty much they ban it. Many European countries, they ban it. They said, we don't want 5G. That's make our, you know, citizens ill, and we don't want more crimes. We don't want more.
Okay. I went ahead and blocked them because that's a Skype number not even listed, and I'm not going to waste my time with that. We're going to move on. Okay. Let's continue going on, family. Now, we already know the Father is not changing. There is no Savior but the Father. Isaiah told us that. Now, Isaiah, we're hearing from the Father way more than many of you. Although you do hear from the Father, but you're not paying attention. Go back to the book of Job. The Father says, you know, I try to communicate with my people once, maybe twice, but they don't comprehend. So I'm going to get them while they're sleeping. He's going to give you dreams. He's going to talk to you. Okay, family, let's go to Numbers 23:19. See, we got to go through this because some people just don't know. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Okay? It means that he is not flesh, because according to John 4:24, it says God is a spirit. So we know he's not a man. So he don't lie. And this is a spiritual book written by his spiritual people. So that we, the children of the spirit, spiritual Israel today, can wake up. We're going to wake up because there's signs on us to let us know. We got to pay attention to what he's saying. We're talking about spiritual warfare. I got to set this foundation. I can't come with some of the other people who speak on some of this truth, but they lose you. They lose you along the way. We can't do that. We got to go with what the Father says as truth. So it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man. He's not just born like all of us. Now we know when we get to the new covenant, it says the son of man, speaking of Jesus. That's because of that vessel. That's a name. Just like when Mary went to see Jesus, his body in the tomb, he wasn't there. But she saw this gardener, which was Jesus, or God, in the flesh, Emmanuel, but in a different vessel. And he had to let her know, it's me, Mary. Same thing with his other brethren. They didn't recognize him. Don't look at the outwardly things, or you will be deceived, okay? But our Father, he's a spirit. And he's not lying to you, nor is he a son of man. He's not any flesh person that he should have to repent for something. We repent to him. He don't repent to us. It tells us in John 4:24, the Father is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's part of our spiritual warfare. It's about the spirit, and it's about the truth, which means it's about its word. Because the sword of the spirit, family, that's what cuts into the spiritual dimension. When we look to come after people, we just basically told the Father, we don't believe in what you say. No, we don't believe in what you say, because, see, I see this person in front of me. You know, they hurt me. I got to do this. No, baby. No. Use discernment. Because remember, the Father even told you, isn't it not written, ye are gods? Gods mean judges. But you're not judging people. You're discerning the spirit in the people. Okay? When you look and things don't happen the way they ought to happen, you should be using discernment. That's part of spiritual warfare. We're going to get into all this. You're going to understand. You're going to understand this clearly. Go one more place with you guys. Now, David and Paul wrote two testimonies by the Spirit to inform you what is truth. When you go to Psalms 40, verse 7, he says, David, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. That means old covenant, new covenant. This is all about God. I hope y'all getting it. Then Paul said the same thing. Paul in the new covenant said the same thing. Then said I in Hebrews 10, verse 7, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I pray y'all understand old covenant and new covenant. It's only one entity, one spirit that we're dealing with. The one of truth. The one Emmanuel. Old covenant, new covenant means God in the flesh. He had to come in the flesh, family, because we're in flesh. We're gonna underline some of these words and go into some of these definitions so you'll get what's being said here. I want to take you guys, and really I just want to read it. Ephesians 1, I just want to say this verse first, verse 3. It tells us, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, many of us just read over that and really don't get the fullness of what is being said. Paul is letting us know in the book of Ephesians, remember, we're just in Ephesians chapter 1 here. By the time you get to 6, he's talking about this whole armor of God, the spiritual warfare. We're not fighting flesh and blood. But pay attention. He's letting you know something. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Preparest thou me a body. There is no other Savior but me. This is God taking his spirit, making a vessel which he named Jesus Christ so he can work in this dimension. It's a covenant. In order for our Father to work in this dimension, he works through us. That's why he gave us power and us authority in this realm. You can read it all in Ephesians. We're going to read it. We're going to read it. But he says, who hath blessed us. Hath means, and blessed, ED, means it's already been done. So he has already blessed us. This is means we were blessed, but we're going to find out when we were blessed with this. He says, with all spiritual, not some, not a few, but all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. These spiritual blessings in the spiritual realm, in the spirit, which is Christ, which is God, God is a spirit. Everything that we see in the physical first started in the spiritual. He letting us know, hey, I've already given you all the blessings that you will need, all of them. The spiritual blessing. But why is it many aren't seeing it? Why is it that we can look at our relatives, we can look at ourselves, we can read about the history book about our people, and I don't see those blessings? Many of us have sat in churches diligently, faithfully. Many of us give our love offerings diligently, faithfully. Many of us do good works diligently, faithfully, for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Some of them, our ancestors have gone to the grave and never fully seen these blessings that the Father blessed us with before the foundations of the world, Ephesians chapter 2. We haven't seen them. You might get grace given to you where the Father will give you a trinket of his goodness. But let's go. I want to take you guys to Deuteronomy because these are the blessings we should be getting. So this is what spiritual warfare is about. You better pay attention. This is not no joke. You know, I'm going to take you guys to Deuteronomy 28 because we're going to get the understanding from the scriptures. Before we start in the spiritual warfare, people want to jump right into spiritual warfare where you're not looking at who this Bible is for. Why are certain people, if they believe they're the Father's people, why aren't they being blessed like they're supposed to? Why are they faithfully doing everything they're supposed to do, everything in their might to do, but they haven't seen these blessings? These are the blessings that we can read about in Ephesians 1, verse 3, as well as Ephesians chapter 2. Being blessed with this before the foundation of the world. He blessed us, he made us before he started making the world that we can read about in Genesis chapter 1. Listen to some of these blessings. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 28. The Father says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments." Commandments are laws. Like when you go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve, well, really Adam, but we know Eve had the same spirit, so she understood. They could partake of any tree in the garden, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was a law, and that's the law they broke. So the Father tells us, because there's a lot of laws in here, but we're dealing with spiritual laws now, but the effects of us not hearkening to them bring us back to the laws of flesh. And I don't think people realize this. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 28. The Father says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Hold on, my phone is beeping crazy. That's my son. Let me block him. Okay, sorry about that, family. But anyhow, so let's go back because I kind of read it, but my son was beeping in my ear. I want to make sure y'all getting this. The Father told us in Ephesians that he has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings, everything that we would need to be the head and not the tail. Everything that we would need to live a life here on this earth and live it more abundantly. To have our enemies made footstools for us. To be the head and not the tail. But when we look at our life, we got sicknesses and different diverse diseases and creditors coming against us, and many of us are in jail. You're not the head if you're in jail. Let me tell you, you're not the head if you're in jail. Many of our children are getting killed in the street. Many of us can't keep a family together. That's not a blessing. Here's what the Father says. Go back to Deuteronomy 28, and please open up your Bibles. Verses 1 through 14 give you all these blessings. Let's just go through a few of these. And do you have this? Are you experiencing this? We know you open up the Bible. We know many of you go to churches, or you're with a organization that teaches the word. But many of you cannot honestly in your heart say this is the life that you're living. We're gonna figure out why it is that even though we're trying our best, we're still not hitting the mark. Let's go here. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, his laws, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. So we know nations wasn't talking about a particular place. Nations, according to Jeremiah, was talking about peoples. Okay? Remember, the Father wasn't having us go to certain places and just kill everybody because we were his people. No. Cain, who was the one who slew Abel, didn't just go out to more of his people and it was a good place to be. No. Cain went out into the field, into the earth. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, day 6, male and female was out there. These children of the flesh, these are not the Father's children. The same ones that want to make you believe that when they talk about nations, they're talking about every United States. This is a little nation. Africa, that's a little nation. Egypt, that's a little nation. Zimbabwe, that's a nation. No, 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 no. We're talking people here. This is a book of spirits. These vessels, called people, incorporate the Father's spirit. Just as he said, preparest thou me a body? He said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Your spirit, I gave it to you. And when you die, it's going to go right back up to he who gave it. Not everybody got the Father's spirit. That's why Paul could say, these children of the flesh, these are not the Father's people. Children of the spirit are his people, or sons of God, is like they term it in Romans. So, we're going to be set high above all the nations of the earth. I don't think that's happening. Now, maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't think that's happening. Verse 2, he says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, if you go on corner streets or you go in churches or you listen to TV for these religious sites, they all going to tell you and beam it in your ear that, you know, they are the church that's following the Father. And many of our people sit under them still, have as traditions, and many of our people have come out and now they're into cults and they don't realize it. Because if it's not the Father's word, it's a cult. It's religion. It's a tradition of man. It's not what the Father has said. So the Father says, you're going to be overtaken by blessings if you hearken to the voice of the Lord. Now, they all say they hearken to the voice of the Lord, but their congregation, which comprises with a lot of Israel, they're not living that blessing. Many of them, they got cancer. They got foot disease. They got high blood pressure. They had strokes. They had hemorrhages in the brain. They on dialysis. They have sugar diabetes. Some in wheelchairs, but they're going and they're paying for these miracles that ain't going to happen. They're doing things that isn't the way the Father said do it. We're going to get into all this. Because if they were the people, we should be able to look and see how all these people are blessed and highly favored. And also, it says, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of thy Lord thy God. But the only one that seems to be prospering is the teacher, the preacher, the pastor, the onk, whatever the Hebrews say, I don't know. But they are the ones prospering while the people never get anything. Same thing in the churches. Many of these preachers, y'all know, they got planes, trains, and automobiles. They got two or three big buildings. They got commercials. Their children are going to Harvard, Stanford. But the congregation is given to build all these buildings and to this fund and to the church fund and to the roof fund and to the doggy fund and all funds they got going on. The pastor's wife this, the pastor this, give money for this. Listen, I remember when I was in Ohio. I'll never forget this. My children's father, his sister belonged to a church. Remind me of Joel Osteen's church, to be honest. It was big. It got big. It was a young white preacher. And he was really preaching a prosperity ministry. But I remember her coming by my house, and she had to hurry up and go. And she was on a run. She said, I got to go. I said, where you got to go? She says, well, it's pastor's birthday. And, you know, he had like four different sermons in that city. Per day, four different sermons, and then he would fly off in his jet, and he got a big Lincoln, and all his brothers are in the ministry with him. They all got Lincolns and big houses, and I mean, you go in there. I accidentally walked into the office one day, and I looked. I said, ooh, that's a nice ranch, and look at those. Look like, I don't know what kind of cars. They were very expensive. But she said that what they had to do, they were told that everyone had to give, I don't know if it was $300 or $600 for his birthday. So you go to that church. I don't care what service you go to, you can't get in the door. So many people in there. But each one of them, it wasn't like a question. No, they went, it's like they tell you to tithe and let me see your W-2s to figure out how much you should give. They expect it. So if they have, we'll just say 200. That's really on the small end. But if 200 people give that pastor $300 to even $600 and you got four sermons per day, and then you fly off to Never Never Land and go to do the same thing there, you figure out how much money that is. But yet the people, I mean, I knew his sister. She had a child, had autism. She lived in the smallest house in the world, paid big money for this small house. Husband wasn't doing right by her. Actually, they didn't even live. They lived in separate rooms. But you blessed. Your child got a disease, and that's going to be for the rest of his life, according to doctors. You give it all this money, but look at what you're doing. You got to borrow money from your mama. You're trying to kill your husband with a knife. You know, where's the blessings? The Father said in Deuteronomy 28, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Many people only learn traditions. That's why many of them give to this ministry, give to that, give to this. They're not giving where the truth is. They're promoting. Like the Father said in Matthew 25, when he said, woe to you scribes and you Pharisees. You get in these ships, you overcome seas and all this to get your word out. But you're blocking the way to the kingdom for the children to enter, knowing that you ain't going to enter yourself. You're making them more of children of hell than yourself. We have all learned a faulty doctrine if you're not going to stick with the truth of the Father's word. Because truthfully, you can't say in your heart that you're experiencing what the Father says. We only read two verses. Let me go a little further. Verse 3 of Deuteronomy 28. These are your blessings that before the foundation of the world, supposed to be yours. He says, blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. So you're going to be blessed in your house, and you're going to be blessed in the world when you go out. He says, verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. That's your children. And the fruit of thy ground, that's what you're eating and everything, everything's good. And the fruit of thy cattle, you're going to have, back then in the day, they had cattle. That was their meat source, like we have today. And the increase of thy kind, you're going to keep, they're going to multiply. You ain't going to run out of anything. And the flocks of thy sheep, he's telling you, you're getting an increase. You ain't got to worry. It'll never be dry. You're going to have what you need. So he says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy storehouse. The baskets are where you put the goods, and thy store is where you get the goods. The Father going to keep blessing you and blessing you and blessing you. You're getting blessed like that? Many of us don't have 2 cents to rub together. Many of us have past due bills laying on our coffee tables right now. Many of us have probably taken our car and parked it in another state in somebody's garage because they're going to come repossess it. We ain't got the money. Where's the blessings? These are the Father's words. Hey, you're going to be blessed. These people faithfully go to church. They faithfully do what they have learned. But they're not blessed. Something wrong. Something wrong. The Father says, blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when you go out, baby. You'll be blessed all day long. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. And they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Many of y'all getting beat up daily by your enemies. Your boss, they fire you for no reason. You know, all these things. I mean, I can keep going on and on. You know what I'm saying? I just read the Father's word. You're not blessed. You're not blessed. Not like, well, we're supposed to be blessed. That's what we're supposed to be. Something's happened. Something has happened, and we got to open our eyes to see what this has happened. Let's go a little further. Let's go a little further. I'm not going to make my lessons too long because, you know, I'm going to give you some foundation. And we're going to keep building this. If I don't build it the way it's supposed to be built, I can just let you listen to this one's lesson or that one's lesson because they got a little bit of truth here, a little bit of truth there, but they're not coming through with all the truth that you need. It's not all there. But we're going to read the Father's word and collect it. He says, verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Today is where you're located, because you're not there by accident. You're there because that's what the Father wanted you. But are you really blessed where you're at? Are you hiding in your house, not answering phones, because you don't want nobody to tell you, listen, this is your final call. We coming to get the stuff. We coming to take your house. Your child, we're coming to get him too. That's not blessed. We're supposed to be blessed in and out the house. We're supposed to be blessed every which way we go, everything we put our hand to do. Something not right. I mean, is this book not in all the churches today, Deuteronomy 28, where they can read how they should be blessed? Or is this some miracle, magical thing I didn't cooked up just to talk about? No. No. The Father told me, you go to work. Now, I'm going to tell you what's in this book. It's not my words. Don't get mad at me. We're going to read. Think about this in your lives. Because you got to figure out what this, because see, we go in the new covenant. People want to stick in the new covenant too. That's another thing. Yeah, you can stick in the new covenant, but you better know who is he talking to. Why are you in this condition? Remember, Deuteronomy 28, the word command means a law. That's a hint. Hint, law. You're going to be blessed if you obey. But if you don't, curses. Let's keep going. Just look at your life and tell me if this is how your life is, because I don't think so. He says in verse, let me see, where did I leave off at? Okay, verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee a set apart people unto himself. And who was he talking to, by the way? This is Deuteronomy. Who wrote this? They call it the five books of Moses. So we will assume they were talking to Israel. And if you think that those Gentiles and strangers were other nations, think again. I didn't broke that down just by the scriptures already. That is talking about Israel. People want to go back to the strangers. Oh, they got to be treated as one of us to try to say that Jesus loved the whole world. He died for everybody. No, no, and no. No. Uh-uh. You better go back to the Father's word and get the understanding of what he is speaking of, because let me put my air on. I'm getting really hot here, family. Hold on one second. I got to take off my sweat. I'm really hot. No, he wasn't talking about everybody. You better go back to understand. You can read the lineage in the New Covenant dealing with Yahushua. It'll tell you in Luke and in Matthew, the lineage, all the way down to Yahushua. when you go back, by the time you get to Noah, it tells you about Noah had three sons. Then you read that lineage from Noah through Shem. Then you got, I think, Eber. You got some names in there. But you only hear about one child, leading you to Yahushua, to Christ. There were other sons and daughters. You only hearing the boys' names in. Where did women at? There were other children out there. There were our people who were amongst the other nations. Remember, when Abraham was taken out of Ur, the Chaldeans, or Babylon, confusion, he had family out there. When Isaac told his servant, or not his servant, Isaac told Jacob to go get a wife. Remember, Abraham told his servant to go get a wife. Where'd they go to? They went back to the confused place, but they went to Laban's family. They were into idols. But later on, we read about Rahab, and people get that screwed up. We read about Ruth. They get that screwed up. We read about Job. Oh, he's an Edomite. We get that screwed up. You better know who those people in the scripture were. Those were our people. Those were our people, but they were living in the land that was called this. We had already taken the land many times. Those were still our people. It said that Abraham was a stranger. So don't take the word stranger to mean what you believe today. Read the scripture. He said, I change not. He has a people. He ain't giving up his people. He's long-suffering with his people. And it's, you know, when I said this the first time, I just want y'all to know, I saw half my chat. When I deleted that guy who called in, I saw about six or seven people leave the chat line. I'm not going to lie. When I allowed everybody to come, and I don't stop anybody from coming, but you're not going to come and cause mischief. We're talking about the Father's word. This is too important. But when we had other nations that were coming to our website, they were given like a mug. I mean, I didn't have any bills to worry about because they were given. But when I saw that truth in the Bible that, no, I ain't talking about them. I remember one young lady called me and she said, well, Sister Georgia, she said, Sister Georgia, I feel so uncovered. I feel naked. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I'm really sorry, but, you know, if I see that maybe I'm making a mistake here that it's talking about you, I'm going to let you know. Now, that sister was giving me, whew, a lot of finance to help me with these sites. Many people bought me computers along the way, gave really, when I say love offerings, I mean really good love offerings to where, you know, if I didn't want to work, I didn't have to work because I could manage to pay for all the websites and all the things I need to do and still live. But the majority of those were the other nations. That's why the world loves his own. That's why they're doing well. And I'm not going to get on love offerings because that's between you and the Father. I ain't even going to talk about that. But my point is, I cannot lie to somebody, and I will not lie to somebody if it's not in the, you know, if this is not what the book says, you're not going to get me to say it. I don't care what you do. Keep your money. You ain't got to talk to me, whatever. This is what the word says. Our Father says, the Lord shall establish thee, and this was Moses talking to his people, a holy people unto himself, as he sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see thee. So there's other people in the field, in the earth. Because the curses are going on in 2019. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. But he let you know, these curses that we're reading about in Deuteronomy 28 are visible on his people today. But if you read all these other people of the earth, who is he talking about? Because there's nothing new underneath the sun. Our Father is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's nothing you can say here is new. We always were scattered amongst the people. That's why he got Abraham out from among the people, out of the confusion, out of the world, out of Babylon. Same thing he wants. He tells you to come out from among her, my people. Many of y'all trying to locate yourself in a little cult-like civilization where you wear long dresses, or you women don't wear makeup, don't put no perm in your hair, natural hair, wait on your man. A man can have seven wives. You're not allowed to teach the scripture. Men, you have to do this, do that. You know, what? Where are you reading this from? I'm going to be like Paul. Who has bewitched you to where you can't believe the truth, that you want to believe a lie? Who has bewitched you? We, prayfully, by me saying that, it'll help somebody. I felt it in my spirit to say that. Because many people have been bewitched, especially, I'm going to say it. They want to say, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. And they've gone into cults. They teach in flesh. Yes, the law has not been done away with, but the law is spiritual. This is a book of spirits. The Father is entrapping you, how he says, because they love the lie, he's going to give them more of the lie so that they will believe the lie. Because they love not the truth. You're going to be in that same condition in your flesh, which is hell in this earth. See, we all got to pass through the fire, but some people ain't getting out. He's bringing heaven to earth. People are waiting to go up to heaven. Everybody is doing things wrong. Ah, it's a wonder. Everybody probably is thinking, hey, I got it right. No. And let's listen to the Father. None of us have it right. None. Our Father is letting you know you're supposed to be a set apart people to him. He says, the Lord shall establish thee a set apart people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. He's swearing to you. This is the oath he's making to you. He said, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And it says, and all the people of the earth, they're going to see you, that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Now, I don't think they're afraid of you if they're trying to tell you they're going to take away your house, take away your car, fire you from your job, withhold your food stamps. They're doing all kind of crazy stuff in school. Don't care what they do to your children. They want to be your discipliner of your child than you. You know, the world's crazy. It is. I ain't got to tell you. You already know. But it says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Who are afraid of you? Now, you got to have the fruit of the Spirit. Not a bully. But if you got the fruit of the Spirit, who's afraid of you in this evil world? Come on now. That ain't happening, okay? And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. You're going to have all you need in the fruit of thy body, your children, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the works of thy hand. Everything you put your hand to do, I don't care if it's to go to the store to buy something, you bless. Here, you got more than what you need. I don't care if you go to the bank to make a withdrawal, you're going to get what you need. And keep reading it. You're not going to have to borrow. You're going to get. I don't want to stop here. Let me keep going. I want to read a little bit more. We're almost there. He says in verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the works of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken to the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Many people don't even get this. If the Father gives you a command, not that you're actually going after, oh, I got to go get this God. Oh, I'm got to go get Buddha. Or I got to go get Krishna. No, I got to go get Jesus, the white little image of the statue. No, he's not saying that. Anytime you don't hearken to the Father, anything outside of the Father is lies. Anything that goes against what he told you is idolatry. That's why people tell you a car can be an idol. A church can be an idol. A man can be an idol. He's not talking about you going to actually get the idols that we can see in stone. And No, not actually that. Anything that's not of him, that is not his word, that's an idol. I hope y'all realize that. Now, I'm going to go one step further. We're going to read verse 15. But it shall come to pass, and this is what we're basically seeing. If thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee, and they're going to overtake you. Now, it's actually everything opposite of being the head. You can be the tail. What's interesting, family, and I want to go here really quick. I got to scroll down my computer because I didn't write this down, but the Spirit gave it to me. Okay, the Father says, these are your curses. In verse 43, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. They own everything. You don't own nothing. And a little bit you own can't compare to what they got. So you're not the head. I don't care how much little money you think you got. No. Be truthful with the Father here. Because this is his words. You're under a curse. It says, and thou shalt come down very low. The stranger that's right with us, he gonna get up high, but we gonna get low. He says, he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all of these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. Now, these are laws, family. That's why you got to understand, it's about the law. We're going to go into it. Y'all going to get it. He says, after he tells you about this overtaking you of these curses, he says, and they, what's a they? Well, the curses that we just read about in 45 of Deuteronomy 28, with verse 46 now. He says, and they, these curses, shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. You see, if you know you not living that abundant life, that blessed life, that was before the foundation of the earth, but this is what you're living. You all the stuff and blessings we said, you can't say you got all those, but you're supposed to have all those blessings, not part, all of them. I don't see nobody. I don't care if it's Oprah Winfrey. She got a lot of money, but she's not blessed. She's not even speaking truth. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about just physical things. I'm talking about your children doing well, your health good. You got true spiritual family. When you walk around, those other people who are not of the Father, they know, back up. They cannot come against you. They fear you according to the Father's word. They're afraid. Many of us haven't experienced that. But we still go to churches. We're still trying to find out what's going on. You know, we're doing everything that our pastor told us. We're reading the Bible. We're doing it all. Look, remember when who was it? I think it was David. No, it wasn't David. It was Joshua. Joshua. Okay, thank you, Father. When Joshua, he had already taken over Jericho, but he was going to go to defeat Ai, which he was going to battle Ai. That was the next place to go along the journey to get to Jerusalem or to the land of Canaan. But Ai was only a fraction of the size of Jericho. So they had the confidence because the Father says, I'll be fighting for you if you obey and do all the things I tell you to do. But when they went out to fight Ai, which was only a fraction of Jericho. Now, they beat Jericho, but only a fraction they couldn't beat. That's like you. You can lift a small bookshelf. You can lift it. But you can't lift a piece of paper. That's how it was. They were fighting someone who wasn't even a fraction of the size of what they just conquered. So Joshua wants to know, he went to seek the face of the Father. You know, Father, you said this, you said that. Well, it's not happening. What's wrong? The Father bought Joshua, and I'm going to really break this down in detail as we go on with the series. He told Joshua, Israel has sinned. That's why you're not, you know, that's why you're not, or really what he told them was, he told him he had sinned because somebody had taken something from Jericho, and they weren't supposed to take anything from Jericho because they were idolaters, and the Father didn't command them. There were certain times the Father would tell them to take the spoils. Other times he said, kill the men, the women, the children, the animals, everything, burn it down. Well, in the same case, this guy took something, and he hid it underneath his tent. So when you don't obey, this was collectively as a nation in the old covenant, the Father's blessings weren't there. They weren't seeing what it was, a famine going on. It was all kind of stuff going on. Everything was going wrong. They weren't seeing what they should have seen, the blessing. So he inquired of the Father, and the Father told him, this is what has to be done. When it was David, the same thing with the famine going on with David. David inquired of the Father. And he said, because of what Saul did when he was king. And that had to do with the Gibeonites and so forth. Saul had killed the Gibeonites. He was lusting for blood, whatever. So David had to go back to the Gibeonites who tricked David into covering them, making a legion with them, a covenant with them, because they were supposed to kill the Gibeonites. But when David didn't seek the Father's face and made that covenant with the Gibeonites, Saul later killed some of them off, and now, because they had that covenant, they were supposed to be protected, but when Saul did what he did, boom, it fell on, Joshua? I'm not going to get into those stories real well, because I like to read, and I want you to know it's in the Bible. We got to stick with the covenant. Somewhere along the line, we're hearing about spiritual warfare, but nobody really know what they're doing. I've seen pastors talk about, and this is my sword. Either they'll pick up the Bible literally and use it as a sword. Is that spiritual warfare? I've seen them take the Bible and hit people on the head. Come out, you demon. Is that spiritual warfare? I've seen people take a gun. This is my sword. And these are people y'all might see on YouTube. I'm not even going to go into it. But is that what the Father's talking about? I don't think so. Because if it were, our people would not still be in this condition. But you know what, family? When the Father told me, go to work tonight, and I said, why I gotta go? He said, go now. It's time for us to wake up. I know I can go at this point because he has told me to go. Just like when he told me back years ago, 15 years or more, I don't know how long I've been teaching now, but he told me when I was sleeping, teach salvation. He said, not the Amalekites, teach salvation. Teach salvation. Salvation is of the spirit, not of the flesh. Every step that he has brought me to has given me more insight. A lot of the people got mad because I couldn't come on, and I kept telling them, y'all said, y'all better watch it. You remember when Moses, who were leading the people, he had to go see what the Father wanted. It took him 40 days and 40 nights. The people down there waiting in the valley said, oh, we know where Moses went. Aaron, come on, build us a golden calf to worship. A lot of people do that. They don't understand it's not about what you believe should be on time. Well, this is how the church did it. Well, this is what this. Well, it don't matter what the church did. The church was wrong, apparently, because look at everybody in the church. They're still dying off. Many of them being wheelchaired in. Many of them, you know, bedbound. Many of them got diseases. Many of them are fornicators, worshiping idols. I'm going to just go there. Okay, I work at Walmart. I'm a customer service manager at Walmart. And I happen to jump on the register to help this lady out. This lady had two candles, and I really wasn't looking at the candles. She was a black woman. Okay, I really wasn't looking at her candles, but I was just trying to rush the line to help out because we were short cashiers. So anyhow, I'm taking the candles, and we have nothing to wrap these things in but thin Walmart bags. But anyhow, I'm trying to put two or three on her little candles. This is long, tall ones. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyhow, one had Jesus on it, one had Mary on it. I wasn't thinking, but as I tried to put the Jesus one in the bag, I must have hit the metal, and I thought I broke her little candle, and she about jumped out of her skin. I said, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I wanted to just see if I broke her candle because I would replace it for her. She tells me, oh, no, you better not break my Jesus. I got to light him and get my blessings. And I looked at her. I said, are you serious? You think this is going to give you a blessing? You know, I guess I couldn't help it. It was so funny because I'm like, really? Are you serious? It didn't make no sense to me. That's a tradition of men. Somewhere along the line, you find many Hispanics do that. You find many people from the Spanish-speaking countries that are our people. They do that, whether they look black, look Hispanic, Mexican, whatever. They do that. And those are all our people. There's all our people. I got a person around the corner from me. I go outside on her apartment right in front of her door, and him is a man and a woman. They come from Cuba somewhere. I don't know where. But anyhow, they got this wooden thing with some writing on it, and it looked like he got a face on it too. And at the base of it, they got some candles, and they got a little bowl they put food on, and they put some money in there. And, you know, that's a little idol. That's what they do in their country. I know a lot of them, they always have those little, the Hispanics around here, they're always driving and they always got crosses on. But they believe in the Virgin Mary thing, but they call it something else. And it's witchcraft. That's all witchcraft. The Father didn't say worship Mary. The Father didn't say make any idols, make any graven images. He's a spirit. They've all learned traditions. So we got to get out of what we thought we knew, because apparently, what they teach you in church, what they teach you in school, what they teach you on the TV set, and what you're doing every day ain't working. Not according to these blessings we should be receiving. We fit more in the line of the curses. So let me go back. Let me go back here. I just want to kind of like throw that in there. If you understand, I'm going to go there because I know some people think, I don't know, Sister Georgia. Well, hold up. Here. Let's read this. This is taken from the book of Isaiah. I'm going to go to Isaiah 24. First of all, do you understand who the law was given to? If you know the five books of Moses in Deuteronomy is where the law was. Moses gave it out to the people. Joshua enforced it before they went to the promised land. If you know those Gentiles and sojourners, if you read the story, if you know the five books of Moses, you know, those were a set apart people. They were not everybody in the whole world. They were people who had the Father's Spirit given to them. They were from above. I don't care how they try to twist and turn it around for today, new covenant, old covenant. I don't care how they try to twist it. The Father says that he knew you. You were predestinated to do what you're doing now, but to wake up at his appointed time. But when we read the word, the spirit, those dry bones start waking up that we can read about in Ezekiel, I think it's 33. Then as we keep going on with the word, because the first thing you need to find out is that you really are the Father's people. All you got to do is look, the curse is on you. Curse is not on everybody as a nation of people. I know they misled a lot of you thinking that you're African-American. Now you think you're African. Now you're doing Hanukkah and all. No. He told you who would be at the bottom. He told you who would be at the top. He told you when Jacob was holding Esau's heel, the understanding for that was, go back to the Apocrypha. It tells you that Jacob would be put back on top when Yahushua returned. When did that happen? Oh, we still need the curses because Jesus doesn't come back. That's not true. That's not true. The Father always told you in the new covenant, you got to renew your mind. Because upon him returning, according to the book of Acts, Joel talked about it. Peter spoke on it. And we could read how the Spirit came back. He was the comforter. He bought something back with him. That's what you read in Revelations when it talks about those white horses or Yahushua riding a white horse and he got thousands and thousands of his saints coming back here. First of all, Revelation is a revealing so that you will understand. It's not something new waiting to happen. He let you know what he was always talking about. It's like when he talked about a parable. It was meant for you to know, but not for them. It's a mystery. But it can be understood if the Spirit's involved. Oh, my daughter's coming on. Hold on, baby. Oh, I locked her out. Let me get her in. Hold on. Hold on. Come on in, babe. I'm on my radio show. Okay, back what I was saying. It's a mystery, okay? But these mysteries are only revealed by the Spirit. The Word says it. I know y'all know. I know y'all know better. I'm going to give y'all understanding. Okay. Like I say, the Father works with me. But he puts me through it so I can get it, and I can speak boldly on it. Someone said something to me in the physical, and I got really upset about what they said, okay? And then later, I had been fasting. I think I had been fasting that time for like 30 days. It was a long time I fasted. But I kept asking, Father, what's going on? What? And I didn't understand everything. The Father let that person, while I was dreaming, I heard his voice exactly like he said it. But this time the Spirit was involved. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is what he said? You know, and he was speaking English. And it showed me that if you go lend your vessel to Satan, there's confusion. If you walk by sight and not by faith, there's confusion. When you allow the Father's Spirit in, which is what happened when I was fasting and praying and sleeping, the Father came to me in a dream and revealed to me the truth of what was said. I couldn't believe it because I understood it clearly, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, I made a big mistake. Same thing it is to the Word. If you're not going to be obedient and start walking in the Spirit, come as little children to the Word, mortify your members, and start flowing by the Spirit. Paul let you know, we're not in a physical war. We're in a spiritual war. Our weapons are spiritual, not carnal. We go to Isaiah 24:5. It reads, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. And Isaiah was talking about the people, his people. Because they have transgressed the laws. Well, the laws were only given to Israel. You have to know that. They have changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. The covenant was made in Israel, not to the world. Isaiah 24:6 goes on to say, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now, I know that's confusing a lot of people. The reason why I read that verse, you'd have to go back and read off all Isaiah 24, before Isaiah 24, to understand how Israel was sinning. It brings you back to the curses. If you're not going to hearken, if you're going to do this, if you're going to do that, when I told you to do this, then these curses are going to fall upon you, and they will be a sign and a wonder. You're going to get sick of this state, and you're going to be looking, and when you're going to start reading his word, well, wait a minute. I'm not experiencing this. When you have transgressed the law, but the laws were only given to his people. He says that he blesses everybody. He said, I give them rain. I feed them. If I'm going to feed the, and I'm talking about the other nations, if I feed the birds, if I feed the dogs, if I feed the snakes and the alligators and the lizards and the little flies, well, I'm going to feed everybody. But I'm doing all, they're getting blessed because of you. They're getting blessed because of you. Now, their God's going to bless them with deceitful blessings because in the end, they don't have the blessings of eternal life like we do. So people are looking at things by sight. Well, shoot. Oh, they got all the money. Esau's white. This person got money. He's blessed by the Lord. This pastor, he's a black man, whatever. Oh, he got a car, a jet. See how he's blessed? He's doing the Father's work. No. The heart is very deceitful if you're not going to listen to what the Father said. The Father put certain people in certain position to deceive you. Go read where it says precept upon precepts. It was put there and is done by those who fall into a ditch, and then you jump in there right with them. Then there's other precepts that are blessed that keep you going forward to the truth. There's two sets of precepts. Anybody, I always just say that, anybody who's in the flesh can make this Bible mean anything they want. Always can. And you hear it every day. That's why you got many different denominations of churches. But it's only by the Spirit that the truth is known. Israel sinned. Remember the siege of Jerusalem? Okay, let's go back a little bit. Let's do a little history. You had the splitting under Solomon of Israel, the northern and southern kingdom, correct? Okay. Well, the northern kingdom went under the Assyrian captivity first, never came back. That was under Jeroboam and his two golden calves and his men that he made as the high priest and all that. Well, they already went. They're gone. But there was still Jerusalem. You keep going down the list and you find out later that Jerusalem, which not Jerusalem, Judah, which comprised of three of the nations in Judah at that particular time in the book of Kings, it was Judah, it was Benjamin, and it was the Levites. You read about them going into captivity with Babylon. They went under captivity. Okay, so by the time they come back together and they rebuild Jerusalem, that's where you get to the new covenant. I mean, there's some years, maybe hundreds of years that took place, but basically what I'm trying to get you to see is we had people that were scattered afar off. We had people nigh who should have knew the truth, who should have had the word. Everybody was reading that book. Matter of fact, they were reading that book just like they're reading it today and can't see the truth from lies because they started going into their own traditions. And Yahushua was rebuking them about that. They were putting heavy burdens on the people. They were allowing their vessels to be used by Satan. And this was in the set-apart land. When Yahushua looked in the temple, and they were doing what they're doing today, selling books, selling merchandise. Back in the day, they were having spotted sacrifices they were trying to sell, and they were cheating the people with money. They're doing that today in the churches. That's why I don't sell none. I ain't going to sell none. I ain't writing no doggone book. Don't ask me to. The Father say, why write it? I already wrote it. So I'm not doing that. As a matter of fact, you don't want to give to me, you ain't got to. I'm going to be like Paul. You ain't got to. You ain't got to. You know, you don't have to. That's on you because you're reading the word. I got to wash my hands of that because I didn't talk about it too much. You ain't got to do nothing for me. You don't, if that's how you feel. If you're not reading that word the way you're supposed to be reading that word, you don't have to give me nothing. You can sit there, do what you want to, or keep feeding the ones who's giving you lies. Do whatever you need to do. Buy that new car, get stuff you can't afford, but you just want to put yourself in it. Do whatever you need to do. I'm going to keep teaching his word. The Father told me to go to work tonight, and that's today. So I got to do what I got to do. Now, you do what you're going to – you just do it. I do appreciate the ones who have given. I will say that. I do appreciate you. I'm not saying that for you because, really, we're all supposed to give, whether it be food, whether it be substance, whether it be provisions, whatever. Whatever the Father leads you to do, you're supposed to do. Because he says when you do it to any of the little ones, you're doing it to me. He's talking about himself. And there's other things in there for teachers, but I'm not going to get into all that. I want everybody to understand why are we still under the curses? Why are we still having affliction and sickness and depression, and we're still the bottom? We're not the head. Why is all this still going on? Nobody's understanding spiritual warfare. No one. And I will go a little further with you. We're going to go to, let me check my time out before I go any further. We're going to go to Ephesians 1. I want to go to Ephesians 1. And I'm praying that this is a blessing for you. I know some people don't like to listen to long shows. Let me see. Ooh, I've been talking a long time. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to end it there. The foundation is done. I'm not going to go any further because I don't want to make these shows too long. But I want people to get an understanding. That's what made me wake up to this truth, because I heard this person. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I put it on our website, but I know that they know to talk to me if they got questions. I'm not going to say it across the internet. And they were speaking about this spiritual warfare, you know. But what got me, because, I mean, I heard about him a whole year ago, and the father I know is the one who led the person to me. Because every time he get ready to take me on a next step, he always puts something right in my eyesight for me to see. And I had dismissed it, but then he brought it right back to me. So I started listening. What threw me off was I knew that we're not under the law of Moses. I knew that. And we're not under, you know, we're generational curses. That was the other thing, generational curses. And I said, we're not under generational curses. But what got me was, and the Father put it upon me, because he'll bring things back to my remembrance. I always knew that at the moment the siege of Jerusalem took place, everybody became a Gentile. That was why Yahushua cried. He said, this is going to get knocked down, torn down, and my people will be scattered across the four corners of the earth like we were scattered in Genesis, I think it's 11, where it said that we were scattered after the flood of Noah. And he named all the nations and all this and how we go out amongst them. So I know we all became Gentiles. Plus, I was going to take you to Ephesians where it'll tell you who those Gentiles are that he's talking about. We know they got other Gentiles in the world, but he's talking about his people were sometimes called Gentiles, sometimes called strangers, aliens. You got to know and keep in line with the word saying. Let's not go to traditions of men. Let's not go to a Bible study where they're telling you and making up things. Because I heard the same person who I wanted to bring forward to you, but he tells everybody they got, you know, everybody's the father people. But he made a comment about the curse is going, is a generational curse going down the genealogy. The bloodline is what he said. But then how does the bloodline circulate to everybody in the whole world? See, that's how you, it don't make sense. Because a genealogy or a generational curse means if I have a child, if my child has a child, I'm a great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, that lineage. Well, just like we're reading about Abraham, this is a lineage. The Father says, I change not. He said, I saved you from Egypt. I'm the one who gathered you from Egypt. Now, and he's doing this thing spiritually, I'm going to regather you from the four corners of the earth, the same people. You cannot regather anything that was never gathered. Everybody never received the Spirit of the Most High. You only read about that on the seventh day. I don't care how many ways you want to watch a movie and believe a lie to make everybody, Genesis 2 is really talking about Genesis 1. Did the Father say that? Where is that in the scripture that the Father said day 6 and 7 is the same thing? Where is it in the Bible that the Father says, I'm really talking about the same thing? He's giving you the understanding. Because what understanding I received, he says, one day is like 1,000 years for man. One day with the Father is 1,000 years. So that was 1,000 years. The man, the vessel, the human being, what wasn't his, was already on that ground in the earth by the time he decided to form us and put us into a spiritual location. These are the spirits. I want to get into those spirits. You gotta know, because then the rest of the Bible will start to open up. When you read about certain things we've read in the past, you didn't quite get it. It's like, well, wait a minute. Well, I don't understand. Well, he said, so what the Father brought to me today, I'm going to end with this. Very interesting, very interesting. I don't know why the Father brought it to me, because I'm not going to teach on that today, but it's something I'm supposed to teach you later. And it has to do with if you don't renew your mind. Because many people believe that you're saved, and you are saved if you believe in Yeshua, but you got to be the people to be saved. He's not collecting every fish out of the whole world. No, he said his people for his people who were lost sheep. And you can't tell me any other way. All you got to do is read the word. But, I lost my train of thought, family. Getting back what I was going to say. The Father gave me when David, you can read two parts in the scripture, and I never understood it. It said that David was told not to number the people. Then you read, I think in Chronicles, in Kings it says he was not to number the people. By the time you jump to Chronicles, it says the devil had made David number the people. And I didn't get it. I was like, well, wait a minute. But is the Bible can't be wrong. I'm just not getting it. That's one of the things I want to go into. You. Family's going to love it. The Father's word is so good. We're going to go into spiritual warfare because you've got to know you're not fighting that battle correctly if you're still underneath the curses, because apparently there is something you are not doing right. I didn't get to go into the new covenant like I wanted to. I don't want to make my lessons too long, but I want to keep you there. I want you to be able to go into the word, read the word, and know what the word says. Don't let anybody change what our Father has said. He is not changing. He had a people. He still got the same people. He not messing with no other new people. So we're going to get into this. I'm going to leave it like that, family. We're going to end it, and I'm going to say shalom. Shalom, shalom. Good night, everyone.